Now, so the one thing the Lord spoke to me about is a slumbering spirit. A slumbering spirit. And that is why I initiated and put in the prayer meetings where we pray 3 hours every day for 60 days with my pastors at my house, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. in the mornings, or 9:30 p.m. till 12:30 p.m. at the evenings to do some midnight prayers as well. And we pray with fire. We pray with fire. So the Lord said to me to do that because my people have a slumbering spirit. And when a slumbering spirit is overtaken suddenly by a calamity, that spirit is not ready. And so tonight we're going to get into the evidences of a slumbering spirit. We're going to get into the evidences of a slumbering spirit. We're going to get into how does it come into a person's life and how to deal with a slumbering spirit. Never have a slumbering spirit. And I believe if you're going to listen to tonight, it's going to make sense to you. And then we're going to pray a prayer of deliverance of a slumbering spirit. And I know you will be blessed. Isaiah 56 verse 10. Listen to this. Isaiah 56 verse 10 says, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. Dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. A dumb dog speaks of a dog without discernment. I'm going to say it again. A dumb dog speaks of a dog without discernment. So, it's speaking of a slumbering spirit. You see, watchmen are supposed to be knowledgeable people. They are supposed to be, they are not supposed to be like dumb dogs. They are not supposed to be sleeping or slumbering. Otherwise, robbers can come. A dog should not be sleeping. A dog should be awake. When you look at your dog and a dog is fully trained, you'll check their ear. One little noise, their ears go up and they begin to look. Why? Because they are alert. And God is saying, my people are not like that. They are like slumbering dumb dogs with no discernment. But the truth is that this is the correct position of the spirit of many people. They are blind, ignorant, dumb, unable to bark, lying down, and loving to slumber. Listen to this. Romans 11 verse 8. Let's get into this. I'm just laying a foundation before we get into the evidences of a slumbering spirit. According as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Is there a Bible here for me somewhere? Maybe check there. Just take any Bible there for me. I'm looking for a scripture that I want to read to the people here. I want to read you the confusion of God sometimes. I call it the confusion or the paradox. Not even the paradox, just the strangeness of God. Mark 4 verse 12. Listen to this, guys. Now listen to this. This is Jesus' words. Let me read from verse 10. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things comes in parables. Now, I can preach a whole Sunday. I might preach again this Sunday on this. Those who are on the inside and those who are on the outside. Don't be on the outside. Don't be on the outside. God shares his secrets to those who are on the inside. Now listen to this. Seeing they may see and not perceive. These are the ones on the outside. Now listen to this. Jesus is saying, seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Hold on. Yeah, you literally have Jesus saying, I am causing them not to see. I'm causing them not to hear. I'm causing them not to understand, so that in case they should be converted and turn and their sins be forgiven them. Meaning Jesus said, I don't want their sins forgiven. God has given them, Romans 11 verse 8, a spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. This scripture makes us understand that apart from somebody sleeping normally, there is a spiritual sleep, a spiritual slumber, which can come upon somebody and make him slumber in the spirit. There are too many people slumbering in the spirit. Listen, I'm speaking to you as a prophet tonight. Every broadcast I do, every message I preach, I prepare for it 90% of the time. I don't prepare my messages. When I get to church, I get picked up in a Bentley, or I get picked up in a Porsche, or I get picked up in, and I never asked for it, just the guy who decided to drive me for 4 years got blessed with the Bentley, got blessed with the Porsche, and got blessed with all these things. I'm like, we step out, people take photos, people think it's my Bentley, and then I get persecuted, and it's not even mine. I'm like, dear God, this is not fair, but at least I'm being driven in style, you know, precious value. But listen, a prophet is valuable. A prophet is valuable. I want you to understand the value of a prophet, the value of the prophetic voice. John the Baptist, when it came to Herod, Herod's daughter was dancing in front of him, doing a dance, and the dance was so beautiful, Herod was just taken away. He said, my daughter, ask of me anything up to half of my kingdom, and I'll give it to you now. Meaning, you can have palaces, properties, servants, slaves, soldiers, lands, anything that you want, up to half of my kingdom, and I'll give it to you now. And she said, give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Meaning, the value of a prophet is up to half of a kingdom. Receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, and you'll receive a prophet's reward. A prophet's reward is in his mouth and what he speaks to you. I can give money, I can do all these things that'll never change somebody's life. You know, we had a precious, precious man, a partner of our ministry. He was a CEO of a very, very influential bank, a CFO. Or a COO, CFO or a COO of a very influential bank, or a CIO, internet officer. So you get was a chief internet officer, CIO of a very, very influential bank. Salary was about $500,000 a month. And suddenly he had a stroke and he lost everything. He lost his family. His family began to call him a monster. It was bad. Took the kids away from him. He lost everything, couldn't get one job. He sent 800 CVs in. Nothing. Nothing. And I remember him coming to my house. Now, this is where you must know that you are a prophet. He comes to my house with a little box, nice, so done so beautifully. And I know when it comes from someone's heart. This box was so beautiful. And as I opened it, there was some money inside. Not a lot of money, not little money, but not a lot of money, but I know that was all he had left. Not little money, I'm not speaking of like 5K, but I'm not speaking of 100K, okay? But I know what, and he says, Leon, prophet, this is all I have. I believe in the prophet's reward. I believe if you prophesy now, my case will be settled and my story will be changed. I'm sitting there, I'm like, dear God, I don't even have faith for what's happening here. I'm too scared to take the money. I'm sitting there trying to give him solutions, trying to get work. Nothing spiritual. I do nothing spiritual. But it's not about that. It's about the gift. So I said, okay, but let me just pray for you. I pray for you. I walked to my room with a box. I put it in my room. And I remember I went down on my knees. As I went down on my knees, I said, God, you have to vindicate me as a prophet today. I said, if this man does not get a job or does not get the promotion, I'm a false prophet. That was the first day of Friday. The Monday, the bank that he was working at called him, apologized, and gave him the job back. So how do you perceive a prophet? The value of a prophet. You see, out here, I can just look like a friend. Out here, I can look, I have long hair. I have, I'm not very picturesque. I got gray hair. But do you perceive the gift? We have over 1,700 people on right now. Do you perceive the gift? And what value do you put on that gift? Do you know how many breakthroughs? We, in our church, we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who's got breakthrough like this through prophecy. Businesses. I can pull them out to you. We have stacks of testimonies like this. That's the fruit of a prophet. The one day I was with a man. He looked like a very poor guy, very upset. And I call him out. I said, come here, I begin to prophesy. He had an envelope with him. I take the envelope like this. I began to prophesy. I said, the Lord is showing me you flying over different countries, like especially your African countries. And I see you building houses. And then I see a project. And then I see, and I began to draw. And I draw a plane. And then I draw this. And then I draw the houses. And then I drew a number, like 7.77.8. It was like 7,700,000 and something. I drew that number out. I gave it to him. He fell on his knees and he began to scream. He opened up the envelope. He pulled out the contract with that amount on the contract. And he said, I've been waiting 4 years for this to come through. He says, the plane is I fly in to go build houses in Africa. The next week, he brought his whole family to church. He flew them all up from Cape Town, from every other place, just to come. Another prophecy I can remember, I take a young man, he stands in front of me, he's hungry. He said, give me a paper. He gives me his paper. I give me a paper, I take a pen. And because I just saw a vision of a logo. So I'm beginning to draw this logo. But very slowly, because now as I'm drawing, I'm doubting big time. And yet I'm not one-on-one. This is in front of 500 people. Okay? So I draw the logo. Dear God, let this be right. I go draw a second logo just in case I missed it on the first one. I draw a second logo. I gave it back to him. I said, what is this? He starts weeping. He goes into his phone, scroll back in his photos. He says, this is a business I was busy starting. But doubts came in. Here's the logo, the exact logo. Another prophecy is on there. Tonya's probably on here now. Tonya was at our partner's retreat. She's a partner. This is what happens to our prophetic partners. I pull her paper aside. I prophesied by writing on people's papers a lot. It's just, I prophesy anywhere that I can, but when just putting a pen in my hand, it works, okay? So, and I began to write things, and I write a name. I said, Carl, do you know this person? She says, no. I said, I see a divine relationship, and then I see a divine business relationship between the two of you. I said, this will happen within the next year. And then I see Cape Town and I go on and blah, 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 blah. 6 months later, she met a man by the name of Cole, got married to him. And then she realized that was what I was writing down. Never limit the prophetic. It has the ability to bring light in a dark place. It has the ability to set you free. It has the ability to change your story. It is the ability with one word from God. That is why I'm so scarce on prophecy. Everybody say prophesy. It's not that. I need to hear from heaven so that when that word comes, it'll bring change. I mean, I can say Evan Rotenbach. So same happened with me, met in 2020. Evan Rotenbach is a pastor. He was naughty. even I know what we're talking about. But came to me and I began to prophesy. I took a paper. I said, by this month, this will happen. By this month, this will happen. By this month, this will happen. God is with you. Don't worry. Everything happened like that. Now he's in his new ministry. And I miss you, Evan. And Evan, get onto our Telegram group, man. The link is at the bottom. I believe it would still be there. That is a ministry friend. It's myself and Gebhardt we just, no association, no network, just friends where we're just sharing material, talk to one another if we need help, if we're lonely, stuff like that. If you know some other young ministers and so on, just get them on there. You know me, Evan. I have no desire to have sons. Sons are sins. I have no desire to unless if it's a true son of the Lord coming to me. That's a different story. But we're not there. We're just there to help the body of Christ because there needs to be unity and friendship in South Africa for revival to be poured out. Now, I know that many churches don't like me, but I couldn't care less. Because as a prophet, God has killed my reputation. Killed it. So that I can speak His word without reservation. That I can speak His word without holding back, without reservation. I can speak to the blue collar and the white collar at the same time. To a pauper and a king at the same time. It doesn't matter. I can speak His word. But God has to kill your reputation. If you are on and you're a prophet, or you're called to be a prophet, see you soon again, my friend. Yes, and let me know. Let me go for lunch or something, Evan. Or you come over to my place here. Come over to my place. We're not going to go to that crappy restaurant. We're going to come to my house. I've got a chef here. And let me know. And I don't know where I was now. Let's get back to the sermon. So, listen to this. Romans 13 verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. If the Bible says awake, it is not talking about physical sleep. It is actually speaking about a spiritual awakeness. It is talking about a prayer life that has to be risen up. Mark 13, now listen to this, guys. I'm just pulling a little bit of scriptures just to lay a foundation. Mark 13, verse 35 to 37. Watch ye therefore, for you know not the master of the house cometh at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. When the Bible says that Jesus could come at any time and that he would find some people sleeping, it does not mean that they'll be physically sleeping, they'll be spiritually sleeping. I want to clear up a thing. I saw last night, or when I was on Isaiah's a live stream, some people were not happy when I spoke about angels. You know, isn't it amazing that we are so against angels? But we are so demon-orientated. We can walk into a house and say, there's demons here. But we cannot walk into a house and say, there's angels here. As a prophet, I have a relationship with angels. That is in my new book, The Enigma of the Prophet. I'm still wondering if I should put that chapter in or if it's going to get me into too much trouble. But The Enigma of the Prophet, that is coming out soon. And we're trying to get into the United States as well, The Enigma of the Prophet. I'm going to speak about the mysterious life of the prophetic, speak about the dimensions of prophecy. We're going to speak about the boardroom of the prophet. Powerful. Psalm 82, the boardroom of the prophet. We're going to speak about the prophet's mantle, the prophet's reward, secrets of the prophet. It's going to be amazing. But angels is very involved in the life of a prophet, very involved in the life of a prophet. I have seen so many angels. You see, just because somebody only experienced angels once, or I know this one minister that attacked me, I saw angels four times. That doesn't mean anybody else sees angels four times. Get over yourself. You're not, you know, everybody has a different experience. I've had angels. Our church has physically been shaken by angels, physically being shaken by the power of God, with 600 people in our church. angels falling, walking on the roof, winds coming into the building, no storm outside, no rain, the whole building shaking like this with 600 eyewitnesses. And people took video footage, and those video footage began to leak and spread all over, went viral all over. And our other campus in Krugersdorp, my wife and I were on our knees and we were praying for the face of Christ. In fact, we were praying for the personhood of Jesus Christ to appear to people in their houses. It was during lockdown. As we prayed that prayer, the face of Christ appeared above us. The face of Christ. I have it on a photo. It's on my Instagram. And the photographers came to me and said, look here, the face of Christ with the crown of thorns, with him looking down like this. The supernatural, never limit the supernatural. Never be more demon-orientated than angel-orientated. Angels are very sensitive. They know whether you want them or not. And the more open you are to them, I'm not speaking of angel worship. When Paul was speaking of angel worship, he was speaking of something totally different, okay? If you are more aware of angels, more comfortable, they become more comfortable to you, and they'll reveal themselves to you. And they come in two ways. They come as a message from the throne room of heaven, and sometimes they just come to be naughty. They literally come to be naughty. Angels are naughty. And I'll speak now, only really prophets would understand this. Angels would come and just knock over a thing in my office. I was putting my daughter to bed the one night. And as I put my daughter to bed, she was still very young. I put her onto bed, and as I walked away, I saw myself still standing there. I thought, damn, what's going on? I saw myself standing there. And then I saw this person, which is myself, turning around, looking at me and smiling. And turning back and looked over my daughter like this. And I was shocked. I was like, I thought, let me just go to bed and figure out what's happening. And then I remember Peter's angel looked like Peter, sounded like Peter. And it was my angel that was watching over my daughter. The one night I was praying about 6 months ago, I said, Lord, I said, reveal yourself to my daughter. I said, let an angel come into a room and speak to her. The next morning she came running to me. She said, Daddy, Daddy, an angel came and spoke to me. And I heard a voice to say, I am called, I am called. Never be afraid of angels. The ministry of angels are very powerful. Very, very powerful. Do not be deceived by them. Do not worship angels. They are not our servants, but they are subservient to us, meaning they are given by God to serve us. Okay? Hey, I'm not getting attacked. This is amazing. Otherwise, those that are sitting here that are disagreeing, they're all cowards. If you're not typing, you're not attacking me. You know, lockdown just caused basement apostles and TikTok prophets. And I have these basement apostles living with their mothers trying to attack me every day, every day. You know how many comments? We delete hundreds of comments, hundreds. I have a whole team employed just to delete comments, just to delete comments. So let's go on. The slumbering spirit. So he says, watch, because you don't know when he's coming. When the Bible says that Jesus could come at any time, that he would find some people sleeping, it does not mean they were physically sleeping. They were spiritually sleeping. Are you asleep spiritually or are you asleep physically? Are you asleep spiritually or are you awake spiritually? Are you asleep spiritually or are you awake spiritually? Just come and live with me for a while when we're in the spirit and you will see angels. I can promise you that now. You will see angels. Listen. Let me go on. Psalm 121 verse 4. Psalm 121 verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. He that keepeth you, he neither sleeps nor slumbers. The first function of the Spirit, as of your Spirit, as designed by God, is to worship God. I'm going to say it again. The first function of your Spirit, designed by God, is to worship God. That is why John 4 verse 23 says that by the hour cometh, that when the worshippers shall worship the Father in the Spirit and in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a Spirit. For they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The inability, listen to this, the inability, and I need you to understand this, the inability to flow in his presence is evidence of a slumbering spirit. I've seen so many ministers, they cannot flow in the Spirit. It's an evidence of a slumbering spirit. Many people have never experienced their spirits mounting up. You know where the Bible says that we shall mount up with the wings of eagles. Sometimes some people are chased about in their dreams, and they say, while they are being chased in their dreams, their pursuers are catching up with them, and it feels like they are running slow. Come on, how many of you have had that dream? It means your spirit is under slumber. The second function of our spirit is for meaningful private devotion. Job 32 verse 8. Listen to this. Job 32 verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. People who are awake spiritually always look forward to their personal devotion time with God. You know, I can't wait. When we have prayer meetings in the evenings, I can't wait. I can't wait because we have prayer with my pastors, with my fellow, with my family, with my friends, and we pray in the Spirit. I cannot wait for it. Personal devotion, I cannot wait to open my Bible or to just sit. Sometimes I'll sit in my secret place, my altar that I built, you know, and I made this place so beautiful. It cost so much money. Why? Because I believe that the place where you spend time with God must be second to none. It must be the best place. It must be of excellence. So I've always wanted. Now, I've spent time in bathrooms because when I didn't have, I lived in a one-bedroom flat, and my wife and I lived in a one-bedroom flat. So I would sit in the bathroom and pray, or I would sit in my car and pray. That was when we didn't have money. But now I made this place so excellent that God's presence is hosted here, and it's even going to be built on further. Because I want some extra things in here. There's just a place that I want, a physical place that I want God to dwell. That I know that when I go there, I meet God. And God knows when I go there, I meet him. And the devil knows that when I go there, I meet with God. That I mean business with God when I go there. And I'll sit in this office sometimes, so after my live stream, sometimes I'll just keep sitting on this chair like this, or I'll move to a couch and I'll just sit and worship. Praying tongues like Les Koteke Braskete Kenevan, Les Edenemendies Kete, and I'll put worship music on, and I'll go 3-4 hours just worshiping him. And then all of a sudden, the place would be saturated with angels. That is a relationship with God. That is something you have to be striving after. With a slumbering spirit, it is impossible to do this. So, the second function of your spirit is meaningful private devotion time in the secret place. Job 32 verse 8 says, but there is a spirit in a man, and the inspiration of the Almighty give them understanding. People whose spirits are awake, as I said, look forward to devotion time. Man, they can't wait to read their Bible. Then people are bored to read their Bible. Something is wrong. The flesh is, the spirit is slumbering. Slumbering people always have a dry, quiet time. And when they come out of it, they have nothing to share. If you say, brother, what did God minister to you this morning? He would say, well, I have just read the Bible, and they said we should be reading it, and that's, I have no message from the Lord. You have a slumbering spirit. People who are slumbering in the spirit run out of words when they are praying. You can always tell what they will pray about because it's always the same little prayer, the same little thing, and even the devil can predict what they are praying. Do you know why the devil intercepted Daniel's prayers? The Bible says that Daniel prayed to God, and the devil, what was it? Was it the principality that intercepted the spirit of Greece, the spirit of Persia? The spirit of Persia intercepted the angel that was sent from the throne room of God, intercepted this prayer, and that's why it took 21 days to fulfill. But why did that prince of Persia intercept the prayer? Because Daniel could not yet pray in tongues. You see, when you pray in tongues, it's a spiritual language. It's a mystery language. It's a code. It's a coded language. The devil doesn't understand what you say when you pray in tongues. Daniel didn't have tongues yet, so he had to pray in his own language, and the devil knew exactly what he was saying, and the prince of Persia could intercept. So let's go on. Let's go on. Let's go on. A sense, a slumbering spirit, or somebody who doesn't have a slumbering spirit, can hear from God. In Numbers 12, we see several ways that God talked to people. If you call yourself a born-again Christian and have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God should be able to talk to you in one of these ways. In Numbers 12, verse 6, he says, the Bible says, and he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet amongst you, if there be a prophet among you, I the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream. God can talk to you, to somebody in a dream. God can talk to somebody in a vision. Verse 7 says, but my servant Moses, not so, who is faithful in all my house, with him I will speak face to face, mouth to mouth. So I will speak to him face to face. God can speak mouth to mouth clearly and not in dark speeches. You can now see the level of prophets. He says, listen, to other prophets I speak in dreams and visions, but to Moses I speak mouth to mouth, face to face. There are different levels of prophets determined on their spirit and election. God can talk to you in dark speech if that is the level of your spirit. He can speak to you in visions if that is the level of your spirit. He can speak to you in dreams if that is the level of your spirit. But people who people who are awake and have dreams and revelations or visions. Listen, let me give an example. Ananias' spirit was so awake that he could hear every instruction that God was giving him regarding Saul, to go lay hands on Saul, Paul. He said, go to the street called Straight, lay hands. And he said, no, Lord, this man is dangerous. He's been killing Christians and blah, 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 blah. And the Lord says, no, he will reach a generation, and these things has happened to him. You go and do it. This is why you have been born, is for this purpose. But Ananias' spirit was so in tune, it was not slumbering, that he could know and hear God's voice and do exact instruction. You see, when we have a slumbering spirit, we cannot be obedient to the Lord. We will only hear him halfway, or we will hear him in a confusing way, or we will hear him like we won't even hear him. We won't even know he's speaking. People with slumbering spirits are deaf and blind, and as such, as they cannot hear. You should be able to commit even the smallest thing in your life to the Lord and get straight answers. Let me say, for example, on this, I'm not saying to be super religious and say, what must I wear today? But you know what? I actually do it. I actually do it. If I go to a meeting, I have a couple of watches. I love my watches. I'll ask the Lord, what watch must I wear? Because maybe my watch is going to have a certain influence on the person that I'm meeting. Or I'll ask, what clothes must I wear for this meeting that is coming up? Many times I'll say to the Lord, I'll say, Lord, fill my mouth with your words. I'm speaking, I have a meeting with this person. Give me favor. Give me mercy. Give me grace. Answer me. I involve God in every situation in my life. So it's going to get better and better just now. It's going to get better and better just now. When your spirit is not slumbering, it protects you from diseases and prevention of sicknesses. So Proverbs 18 verse 14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Proverbs 17 verse 23 says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. I want to give you evidences of a slumbering spirit. You will realize that when you come to our church, we actually prophesy very little. We're very deep into the word and revelation, very deep. I believe that you build a church on the word and not the gift of a man. When a church is built on the gift, there's danger for that church to close down or not make it. But when it's built on the word, there is a, when somebody has a clever pretense, how can I explain it? There's something we call like a ostrich behavior. You put your head in the sand and think that you're hiding and nobody sees you. This is the ostrich behavior. Clever pretense is an evidence that the spirit is asleep. It's a clever pretense. Number two, and second evidence of a slumbering spirit is unreasonable silence. Unreasonable silence. When something has gone wrong and you refuse to speak out because you do not want to own up on your responsibility, it is the evidence of a slumbering spirit. I was sitting in a pastor's meeting long ago. I was sitting in so many pastor's meetings, but the one pastor's meeting, this pastor, he's a friend of mine, but he was just going off about this and that and blah, 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 blah. And we're going to live immortal, and they believed in immortality and all this stuff. And all the pastors, there was about 12 pastors, we were doing this conference together. They were all silent. And the message, the word came to me where the Bible says that that Elijah said to the people, if God is God, worship him. If Baal is God, worship him. And the Bible says the people answered him not a word. You see, and silence is very dangerous because it tells you who you align yourself with. And I was so upset. And I told the person, I took him outside and I said a word or two that I should was not allowed to have said. But I was young. And if I say it on here, we're going to lose half of the followers, so I can't say it on here. But I tuned this guy. No, we're still friends today. I said to him, stop talking nonsense and rubbish. But I just used about the Afrikaans people will know what word I used. Okay. Afrikaans people will know what word I used. And I said, stop talking nonsense and rubbish. And please don't comment the word now, guys. Okay. And I said, you know, but there was a unusual silence because people don't want to take unreasonable silence. They don't want to take responsibility. The third evidence of forgetfulness. The third evidence of a slumbering spirit is forgetfulness. Some people forget things easily. Some just find that their minds are dark with no light at all. Anytime they pray, all they notice is that there is darkness around them. They have never experienced the bright light. The Bible says that Jesus is the light that comes into the world and the light that every man comes into the world. The fourth sign of a slumbering spirit is daydreaming. Now, I'm on the fence on this one because prophets daydream. And there's a place for daydreaming. It is called Rayon. When you daydream in Rayon, you then use Yetzer to bring your Rayon into today. Rayon is this. I'm sitting in school. Or at my time in university, I was sitting in university, and I'm studying the stupid stuff that I don't want to study because I just got saved radically, and I'm sitting and I'm daydreaming. My teacher is a Satanist, so I already don't want to look at him, and I'm sitting and daydreaming, and I'm daydreaming about a big church one day, and then I daydream how I walk through the corridors of the church, and then I daydream how I pray for people that all fall under the power of God. I do deliverance. And what was I doing? I was rayoning. The Bible says rayon is the thoughts that God gives you that speaks of the future. It's rayon. The anointing of rayon. I've preached on this. Please run through the first two again. Maybe somebody can just put the first two on for them there, guys, please. So daydreaming, this is another evidence. People who daydream just sit down and daydream about good old days and the future without making effort to achieve it now. The difference between rayon and daydreaming is rayon, you put action into it called yetzer, which brings it into your today. But the daydreaming here is just people just daydreaming and nothing happens in their lives. They have a slumbering spirit. By the age of 50, I've met people. By 20 years old, they said, now they're going to do this job. And I met them when they were 45 years old. They're like still like, oh, I'm going to do this job one day. I'm like, what have you done? No, I don't know how to get started. You need a slap. I need a big hiding. Daydreaming a lot. Prophets daydream, but it's a different daydream. It's an imagination that is prophetic. A lot of people on. So people seem to enjoying the subject. And it's not even that interesting subject. The fifth evidence of a slumbering spirit. Inability to settle down and read the word of God. Inability to settle down and read the word of God. If you can read other books but find it difficult to read the Bible, it is evidence that your spirit is in a slumbering state. Inactivity, the sixth evidence of a slumbering spirit is inactivity. When you come to the house of the Lord and you're not interested in anything, you just sit down, enjoy the prayers or the word of God. You don't even raise your hands during worship. You just stand like this in worship. You're not standing like this in worship. And then, you know, when we preach in our church, we preach, the whole church jumps up out of revelation the whole time. Some nights and some mornings I'll preach that people stand the whole service because it's revelation. What does revelation do? Revelation brings a leaping in your spirit, and it causes your spirit man to leap, which means that they then comes a bodily reaction that does not allow you to sit still. It's like you're sitting on the edge of your chair, you're jumping up, you're excited, your spirit is alive. But then you have those people, they just sit there. They look at you like Adam on Mother's Day. You know, they just sit there. And that you can throw out the biggest revelation ever, they just sit there. Their spirits is dead. It's in a slumbering state. It's caged. I'll get down to the prison and the caging of a spirit. And we're going to pray against the spirit tonight. And I'm going to see if I'm going to prophesy over one or two people here. Sarah Redmond's name has just been standing out for me. Sarah Redman. Sarah Redman, just tell me one thing. Are you in the USA or in South Africa? And guys, I can't see your profiles or anything. I've got an app here. I literally see a Facebook sign or a YouTube sign with a name. I don't even see a photo. Okay, so I want to make that clear. We don't mess around with prophecy when it comes to this. Why did I say now? What was the name? Huh? Sarah Redman. Thank you, God. Okay, Sarah, tell me. USA. Okay. I have a word for you. Sarah, sorry, why I'm saying like this is I have many visions going through me. Your family. The Lord is saying, I'm touching your family. But let's get much deeper right now. I'm touching your family. Please tell me, do you have children and do you have a son? Maybe you're too young yet and you don't have children. I'm just asking a question because I don't have the person standing in front of me that can affirm and that can confirm and stuff like that. This is really just a name that I'm seeing. And then just once I have one or two or three things, then I'll go for it. Because then I know that I'm on point. I know how the prophetic works. I've been doing it for 15 years. Let me see Sarah Redman. Barushka Ekena Maskete. Two boys. Okay. Now let me say this. The Lord is saying to me, and He's speaking to me about your family. There'll be resurrection power. There will be, I see another name with an R. Somewhere in the family, the immediate family or an extended family. I know your surname is Redman, but I'm seeing something with an R. Something with an R. But the Lord is telling me that that He's going to bring restoration to your family. He's going to, and if I'm correct, let's say with an R or something like that, please type and tell me, yes, this and this and this, just so that I can know. And because as I get that information back, I can go deeper. Okay? If I'm not, I have a reservation and I don't go deeper. So I'm just explaining to you guys how prophecy works and how I prophesy. Because the person isn't in front of me at the moment. Now, once we do the prophecy night, you'll be on Zoom, so it'll be much better. Okay, so when I saw a son standing, the Lord said to me, there's an angel behind this one, because the enemy has desperately desired to remove and take his life from this planet. I see a name with an R in the immediate family or extended family. I don't know where that is falling into. You can maybe just let me know. But I see an angel standing behind your son. I'm looking at the month of July. June, July. So I know you guys are Redmans. I know you guys are Redmans. So I'm not referring to the Redmans. I'm referring to another R, like a name or something like that. That's what I'm referring to. But I see the month of June or July or something like that when it comes to your sons. But when it comes to the one I'm speaking of, the Lord is saying, there is an angel standing behind him because the enemy wanted to remove him. The destiny upon his life is very powerful. I see one that is going to go into business. I see another one that is going to go into ministry, especially in a side of evangelism and the prophetic and pastoral. For the Lord is saying, I will put my hand upon him. I will touch him, and there'll be a touch of God upon him. You will see such a change upon him. For even as I speak right now, a ministering angel is being sent forth to him. For the Lord is saying, yes, he has his angel, but there's a ministering angel that is going forth. Born in July. See, the one I'm speaking about is born in July. But I'm a fake prophet. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No, you won't understand that. Praise God. Sorry, people call me a false prophet. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing. July. Why do I see July? Because I was born in July. So I saw him standing right next to me. I saw one standing right next to me. I don't know if it's the one that I'm speaking about or if it is the other one. But I saw one standing right next to me. Now, born in July, born in July, born in July, born in July. You need to pray for your two sons. The enemy is going to try to sow seeds of discord. But it will not succeed. The one will go into the marketplace. Financially will bless and become a blessing to the family and break poverty that the enemy wanted to bring upon the family. The other one is going to be like a fireball in the hands of God. He's going to be like a battle axe. And the Lord is saying, see how I will raise them up. And the pain that you have gone through, Sarah Redmond, the pain that you have gone through that others have not seen, the Lord is saying, I have seen it and I was close by. I've seen the sacrifice. I was close by. And you're going to have rewards pay out to you. I see a financial blessing and explosion coming in the next 12 months to you. I see a big promotion coming. I don't know if you have your own business or if you have working somewhere, but I'm looking at a property that is going to be released. I see a property that is going to be released. Or the Lord is going to give you wisdom on how to get property or properties. I also see a will being written and changed or altered. For the Lord is saying, do not fear. I am with you. I have always been with you and I will always be with you. For you shall see my hand upon your life. The one that I'm seeing the angel upon, the one that is called to ministry, the youngest one. The youngest one. I'm looking at like the number 7. That's got nothing to do with age or anything. It can be like a birthday. It can be an age. It can be a 7 of God's protection. It can be anything. It can really be anything. But when I'm seeing the number 7 written on his head, it tells me he is God's chosen. Pray for your children. Restoration and healing is coming to your house. Where the enemy, he's 17. Told you I see the number 7. He's 17. He's the prophet and evangelist. Jeremiah was called at the age of 17. Jeremiah was called at the age of 17. I want this word to bring hope to you. What the enemy has tried, you will not succeed. I decree and declare that not one of these words that I spoke will fall to the ground void, but there will be success everywhere. The Lord is going to bless you financially. He's going to bless you financially like never before. Amen. So guys, there was just a little bit of a demonstration of how we do prophecy. You all saw the comments, the accuracy. This for me is like breathing. Take that word, record it, write it down, keep it. I see him like the younger one, the 17 one. I don't know. I see something with like coming out of his mouth. I don't know if it is. Obviously, he's going to be preaching and stuff like that. But I don't know if there's a voice that's coming out or piano or something musical or something like that. Bandos keteke. Leroska akaya breskateke breskotana mambroskataya te telebadorskate lesh avreskate kena mambroskataya leradoska ekena mambroskate kedele benama brodoska tarabondre ekele dele bradanama. Okay, let's get back into the sermon, guys. Let's get back into the message. Almost finished. What is another sign of evidence of a slumbering spirit? A slumbering spirit is called inactivity. 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 When you come to the house of the Lord and you are not interested in anything, as I said, others are worshiping, but you are not worshiping. There is, others are partaking. All of a sudden, you no longer jump up when others used to jump up. You used to jump up, but no longer do you jump up. Now you're sitting in the back where you used to sit in the front. It is evidence of a slumbering spirit. Number 7, complete spiritual blindness. Complete spiritual blindness. My oldest plays music. Youngest is in search of. My oldest plays music. Yeah, I said I plays music. Okay. So, youngest is in search of. The Lord is going to touch him. I pray that angels will encounter him. Angels will encounter him. By the word of a prophet, I call your name forth. I call you into the kingdom. You can run, but you cannot hide. I call you son, says the Spirit of the Lord. You shall have an encounter with me. It is your job, Sarah, to pray for him like never before. Pray blood, sweat, and tears. And you will see thousands and hundreds of thousands coming to the Lord through him. In Jesus' mighty name. There is a threat of prison. I'm speaking in the future. I don't know which one, either one. There's a threat of prison, which I cancel and I break it. The curse that the enemy wanted to put on them. I break its power. So, So complete spiritual blindness, complete spiritual blindness. So I was just looking at the comments because I was interested in what Sarah was saying. And complete spiritual blindness, when you cannot see beyond your nose, you have no spiritual direction, you cannot see your future anymore. For example, a witch is serving you a meal, another one is standing before you, another witch is sitting next to you, and you don't know anything. You just think it's normal people. You have become spiritually blind. You see, there are different levels of sleepers. The Bible even talks about those who dead sleep. There are some people that you will tap or push while they're asleep, and they will not wake up. The alarm clock could sound, but they would still be sleeping. Do you know that the spirit also behave like that? To wake up some people's spirits, they need a shock, a literal shock. They need a tragedy that hits them. And then all of a sudden, they need to have a family member die, or they need to have sudden losing their job. Then all of a sudden, they begin to pray. It's a very sad condition to be in. Very sad condition to be in. Let us look at another thing called spiritual imprisonment, where your spirit is caged. I need to amplify on this. Where your spirit is caged. The psalmist was a man who had problems and understood what the host of darkness meant. He was a warrior, King David. When you read the Psalms, you will see a lot of war strategies. The psalmist says, he teaches my hands to war and my fingers for battle. Some of the language of the psalmist are not too clear, but when you look at them spiritually, you will see and understand what is happening. Listen, he says, you will see the deep meaning. He says, Psalm 107 verse 16 says, "For he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder." Now, this is not a physical act. This is something that is done spiritually. So which prison is this talking about? It's not a physical prison. It is a spiritual prison. It is a prison that cages somebody's soul. You see, there are prisons in the spirit world, and this is a very serious situation. Spiritual imprisonment is a situation where somebody's spirit is trapped or put inside a spiritual cage. This situation can even happen from birth. The enemy can cage a child immediately after birth and replace the spirit inside him. I've seen so many people. How does it look like when their spirits are caged? Their eyes are dark. It's just nothing is going on. You can lay hands. There's nothing. Their spirit is in a prison. And you need God to break those iron bars and get them out of a spiritual imprisonment. Our prophet, how can we help someone who suffers from slumbering spirit? Many are in services all over, as from my church in Georgia. You know what? You have to give them a shock, power clash in the church, power clash in a service, and then get them into prayer. Prayer is how you break a slumbering spirit, and praying some prayers. There are many prayers. You can just Google some prayers on how to break the, because I don't have it on me with me now, but how to break a slumbering spirit. Maybe I do have, I'll check if I can find some. But how do we know when the spirit is imprisoned? Feeling empty inside continually as if something is missing. One may be praying in tongues and doing all kinds of things, but somewhere deep down, something is missing. Inability to settle down in marriage. Number three, inability to achieve one's divine potential. Number four, feeling of loneliness even in the middle of a crowd. Number five, when a person feels tormented. Number six, you have looked at yourself and known that you have talents and powers within, but you cannot reach them. You know you can do certain things, but somehow something has locked up your talent. And therefore, those who are supposed to be saying yes, sir, to you are the ones telling you what to do. It is because somewhere within your Moses, your talent has been locked up. Number seven, when it appears that you are moving farther and farther away from success as you are growing older. Number eight, a feeling of being lost inside when everything seems to be going on well on the outside. Oh, I've seen a lot of those people. Everything, they have money, they've got everything, looks so good on the outside, but inside they are lost. I work with actors, I work with people with influence. I've done deliverance on actors, I've done deliverance on people of influence. You know what? Everything looks hunky-dory on the outside. But once you touch their soul, it is broken. It's a feeling of being lost inside and everything seems to be going well on the outside, as I just said. Internal anger against no person in particular. You just have anger. Sleeping while prayer is going on, or sometimes when prayer meetings are powerful and you suddenly become dizzy. Number 11, inability to ward off spiritual attacks. You have the inability to ward off spiritual attacks. If you find that during satanic attacks in the dream, you're always unable to move. When the enemy comes, you cannot run, stand, or talk. They seem to achieve everything they want to achieve each time they come. There are also powers that can extract a man's spirit and substitute it with another. When you look at the person and say, "You're not the person I used to know. What happened to you?" His spirit has been trapped, imprisoned. Imprisoned spirits are under the control of satanic powers and can never actualize their potentials in life. It's their glory, their star, their horse of destiny being stolen. Their crown being stolen. The Bible says, let no man steal your crown, your glory. When you put all these things together and think about them, the wounded spirit, I didn't get into the wounded spirit for the sake of time, the slumbering spirit and the imprisoned spirit, you will discover that they are the secret of spiritual defeat. They are the secret of spiritual defeat. So we're going to pray for you right now and pray for those who need it. And maybe I got some prayers here. Let me just see. Somebody asked me, I think Kevin Williams asked me for prayers. These are some prayers that I use against a slumbering spirit. And I'm just going to pray it, get it into your spirit, record it. You got it on video here. Your spirit of slumber and heaviness, release me in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, help me to really discover myself in Jesus' name. My spirit, I command you to wake up from any spiritual slumber in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, set me on fire in the name of Jesus. The other night I was praying for 4 hours and all I prayed and screamed out of the groaning of my stomach, I said, God, set me on fire. Set me on fire. Set me on fire. The other day I was lying in my bed on a Saturday, and I was just kind of like trying to prepare for Sunday, but I was just relaxing. And as I lied like this, an angel stood right next to me here. And the angel said to me, I want you to prophesy to the future president of South Africa. And you must do 1, 2, 3 and do it like this and like that. Everybody thinks they know who it's going to be. I already made contact with the one who it is. In many years, I would say about 20 years. Oh, I bind and cast out of my life the spirit of the tail in the name of Jesus. Let every evil eye monitoring my life receive everlasting blindness in the name of Jesus Christ. Father Lord, cause me to do the right thing at the right time. Father Lord, give me an excellent spirit. I command all my mistakes to be converted to manifold blessings in the name of Jesus. I stand against the spirit of Pisgah in my life, the spirit of almost. I preached a message on that. Many of you will remember. Moses stood on the mount called Pisgah, which is the mount of almost. Pisgah means almost. That is where God said to Moses, you will see the promised land, but you'll never enter into it. And many people are stuck at the mount of Pisgah or the mount of almost. Or they're stuck at Kadesh Barnea. Oh Lord, let your glory completely cover my life. Lord, cause my life to please you in every way in Jesus' name.